Amen. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter number one. The book of Acts, chapter number one. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 14 in just one moment. He's been missing since July 31st, 1975. Left a restaurant in Detroit, Michigan. Never arrived home. Never been seen since. Jimmy Hoffa, the leader of the Teamsters Union, suspected to have been the victim of a mob hit. But there's never been any conclusive evidence, never a body, never a trace of what happened. Kind of strange, isn't it? What's even stranger is when you're missing something and you can clearly see how and why and still don't do something about it. And I believe that what is missing in church and what has even been missing in our church is prayer. Did you know that Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And yet, it seems to be just gone. And admittedly, as the leader of this church, I have to sadly say that I let it be gone. And there's a lot of reasons why it's gone, not only in our church and other churches. The reasons are all around us. We're very busy. We like our bands. We like our lights. We like our comfort. We don't like to open up our lives to one another. For many people, church is simply a consumer product. We come because we like it. We come because there's something for our kids. We come because we like the worship. We come because the speaker is energetic and entertaining. We come for every other reason than probably what should be the most obvious reason why we come to church in the first place. God. And I know that conventional wisdom would tell you to keep this kind of thing out of Sunday morning. I mean, after all, that's when the majority of guests are in church, and that's when we've got this particular schedule, and we've got to get this accomplished, and we've got to do this. And somehow, in some way, sadly, God and talking to God just got pushed out of the way altogether. And in churches, God sometimes, and prayer for sure, has gone missing. This morning, I'd like to reintroduce it, and maybe for the first time, sadly, reintroduce God into the services of River City Baptist Church. Now, I know this is unusual. I know it's difficult, and I know just by the response that I see sometimes, this is not normal. When you call people to pray together in church, and you ask people to actually move and come and pray over and with someone, to take a designated 3 to 5 minutes in a service and ask God to meet with us and ask God for the prayer requests that we together are sharing in the church. And what I want to tell you this morning is that it is very odd to us, but it was very normal to the church in the Bible. And we have gone so far from being a church like the original church that when we get back to doing what the original church did, it will seem strange and odd and out of place to all of us. But I want you to know, I would rather feel strange and odd and out of place so that God could be there than feel comfortable where God is not. I was sharing with somebody this morning, I read a book a couple years ago called Uncomfortable, and it's about church. And church should be a place where you get uncomfortable. Church should be a place where you are able to forge relationships, have disagreements like a family, where you can serve one another, care for one another. We treat church more like a Jags game than a family. Really. And I say we, I'm talking about us, church. I'm not talking about a church down the street that you're thinking of. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about that we have become a spectator place. And I'm telling you that this was never the way the church was supposed to be. It's not the way this church is going to be. I have to admit and ask for your forgiveness this morning as someone who has not led this way. But I will assure you that over the last year, God has been pummeling me and teaching me and helping me understand this. And today, that bad practice stops. And I'm asking you to join with me, because we are the church. I am not this church. They will throw dirt over my body 6 feet below the earth one day, and God will continue, and this church will continue, and his work will continue. So we have to be those people who embrace what God wants. And if I were to ask you, what would you say is the church at its most pinnacle moment? I would say it's in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2 is the pinnacle moment of the history of the church. Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, thousands of people are ushered into the family of God, birthed into a brand new church in Jerusalem, and the rest is history. But I want you to understand something. What happens in Acts chapter number 1 was a prerequisite for what happened in Acts chapter number 2. Or let me say it another way. If we want Acts 2 power, we need Acts 1 prayer. Look at what they're doing. Here in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14, it says these words. These all continued. Actually, let me back up to verse 12. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, or they had entered, they went up into an upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Watch this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Amen. I want to share with you this morning the power of a praying church, or the power of a church that prays together. That is what this session today, this message is all about. It's what we're going to be doing at River City Baptist Church from this day forward. I'm going to explain to you some of the things we're doing and how we're going to march forward together as a praying church from August 3rd, 2025 till Jesus comes again, okay? How are we going to do this, and what should this look like? And I want you to notice, first of all, in our passage, prayer was the priority of the early church. Prayer was the priority of the early church. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says this: first of all, prayers should be made for all men. Now, if you study your Bible at all, you would know that 1 Timothy is a book about how things are supposed to go in the church. And Paul tells Timothy, this is how church leadership should go. This is how we should care for widows. This is how we should care for sound doctrine. This is how we should raise up and lead and teach elders in the church. This is how finances should go in the church. This is how we should care for one another in the church. But when we get to the very first chapter after the introduction, here's what he says. Before we start talking about church polity and pastors and leaders and caring for widows and all this other business related to the church, First of all, prayer should be made in the church for all men. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 that I read for you, it says this: then they returned from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem and gathered there in what we know as the upper room. So why did they gather there? Well, look at verse number 8, if you will. And verse number 8 says this: but you will receive power, notice this operative word, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, in Luke chapter 24, I believe it is verse number 49, Jesus' instructions to them there were this: tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power on from on high. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it important that the gospel be taken to the nations, yes or no? Of course it was. Was it important that they went out into the streets, into the temple, into the rest of the world and preached the gospel? Of course, we all know the Great Commission. We all know how important the Great Commission is. But here's what Jesus says: before you go preach about me, you should first be praying to me. Before you go do work for me, let me empower you so that you can accomplish the job. I mean, the Great Commission was so important that God said this: you shouldn't dare try to accomplish the Great Commission until first you have prayed. And then you will be empowered. Now, folks, I think we've got it backwards, don't we? Don't we tend to pray as a last resort, 911 dial from the phone only when things have gone sideways or backwards or things have gotten difficulty? It's almost like prayer has become our last resort. It's almost like, well, we might as well pray about it. We've exhausted everything else. We've exhausted every announcement. We've exhausted every sermon. We've exhausted every small group. We've exhausted every gathering. We've exhausted every doctor's visit. We've exhausted every loan. We've exhausted everything. And then when it's all exhausted and we don't have anywhere else to turn, then we pray. It's kind of like this. We don't really pray in church until something's wrong, until there's a problem. Folks, what I'm telling you is this: prayer should be on the front side of the church service. It should be on the front side of the problem, not on the back side after everything goes sideways. And maybe if it was on the front side, there might be less of the backside needing to be prayed about. I mean, you go, I'm not going to do it for sake of time. God knows me. I asked him to give me today what he wanted me to say. I didn't bring any notes. I'm just going to ask him to tell me exactly what you need for this hour, what I need for this hour. But you can study and survey the book of Acts all you want to, and this is what you're going to find. On almost every page of the book of Acts, you're going to find people praying. You're going to find them praying at Pentecost. You're going to find them praying when they are in prison. You're going to find them praying before they preach at the temple. You're going to find them praying when they're selecting the next leaders in Acts 1 and in Acts chapter number 6. You're going to find them praying when Peter got thrown in jail and he was about to die. You're going to find them praying when they're sending missionaries in Acts chapter number 13. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see the people putting a priority, putting an exclamation point, putting a high price tag, a high value on prayer. And church, I want to tell you this: we will go nowhere from here unless we go in prayer. It was a priority. Is it your priority? Is it my priority? Now, folks, listen here. I can't make anybody pray. I mean, I can make you want to pray about as likely as I can make Ashley, my daughter, like chicken. Just not happening, folks. Let me tell you something. We've tried it every way you can cook it. I mean, she almost asked at every meal, is that chicken? And so we've resorted to lying. No, I'm just kidding. Look, I can try anything I want to. I cannot make the kid like chicken. I can make her eat chicken. Don't mistake the two. Now, I'm not cruel, but I can tell you this: there's a difference between making somebody eat chicken and making somebody like chicken. You can't make that happen. I can't make you pray. What do you think I'm going to do? Get a crowbar and jerk you around the neck and pull you down to the altar and say, you got to pray? No, that's fine. I can't make anybody pray, but I can do this. I can stop giving somebody an excuse not to pray. And so we're going to make this a house of prayer. It will be the priority. It will happen at every service that we have in this church. And let me, and I don't know who's back there. Is that Keyshawn? Keyshawn, I messed up today and I didn't go through some slides, but if you can catch up with me, I don't know if you can do this. I want to show you some opportunities that we're going to have to pray right here at the church, right now. And so Keyshawn, can you give me a head shake? Are you with me? Good, man. I knew Keyshawn. Give it up for Keyshawn back there. Way to go. Hey, listen. Keyshawn's got to deal with me, and so he's got the worst job ever. So pull up the connection groups. What we got here? What's next? What we got? Can you do that? I probably put you on the spot here, and I apologize if I did. Yeah, I figured. I'm sorry, buddy. Yes, there we go. There we go. So where and how are we going to make prayer a priority in the church? Okay, that's what I want to address here. First of all, connection groups. We have multiple Bible studies. Here's a list of them that start right away this month. A Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, as long as we're having connection groups in this auditorium, there will always be a prayer meeting. I don't care if I'm here praying by myself, but I promise you, we're going to open the doors at 6 o'clock, from 6 o'clock to 6:30. If you want to come in and pray with me, I will be right here, standing right here. And if you want to pray, just come on and let's pray, okay? At 6:30, we're going to have a prayer meeting. It's a full hour. How many of you were here last Wednesday night? Would you raise your hand? You were here last Wednesday night. Did we not pray for an entire hour of praise and prayer? Every Wednesday night for the rest of my life here in this room, there will be a prayer meeting held, okay? The rest of these, go back if you, I'm sorry about that. Go back to the previous one. Then there's going to be these other groups, okay? There are groups that meet regularly, some on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, some on Wednesday, some on campus, some in other places. So Encountering Jesus is an 8-week Bible study with Tim Marshall to be here on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Also, Mandarin Bible study group. If you live way down south and getting up here through traffic is difficult, there's a group that meets at Aaron Fisher's house. Aaron, go ahead and stand up over here. It's a Bible study group at their house Sunday night. Once a month, there's a ladies Bible study. I believe it's today, if I'm not mistaken. Right? It's not today? I was mistaken, obviously. So anyways, go get signed up for that, and then you'll find out when it is. Okay, senior adults, I'll let you decide if you fit in that category or not. That's Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. 610 Men, that's a men's ministry. I'm excited about that. That meets Wednesday morning at 6:30 in my office, okay? There's a new Bible study starting this fall called The Pursuit. That's for married couples, young married couples. And that'll also be on Sunday morning. Quick Start is our every 4 weeks in rotation Bible study that teaches you the basics of the Christian faith. It's also our membership track. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying every one of these connection groups will begin with prayer. And not just, hey, let's pray for Sally who's got an ingrown toenail. I'm talking about a legit prayer meeting every time they meet together. Before we study the Bible, we're going to have prayer. Every one of these groups, okay? And so you can get there. Also, on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning at this church, in this hour while we are here, we're going to have prayer time every single time we're together. We're also going to have men's and women's prayer groups beginning next Sunday. One for men that I will lead, one for ladies led by Susan Davis, and they're down in the South Wing rooms, I believe 102 it says, and 104. Hey, come and pray. Come and pray. And you say, well, preacher, what are we praying about? Well, we're praying about things that our church needs. We're praying about things that our leadership needs. If you've got a real question about it, again, go ahead and download the Church Center app and click on prayer list. It's right there on the page. And let me encourage you with this. I know this may be a little uncomfortable for you, but let's just say that you're like, man, I'm not going to participate. That's fine. Again, can't make you like chicken. But could you at least, while we're praying here, could you not pull out this app and pray through the requests that are already shared? Did you know in the last week, 2 major miraculous answers to prayer came through our prayer list? You can read about them. 2 miracles. There was a kid on a ventilator about to die, and we started praying for him, and he is up walking in his right mind today in Arizona because we prayed. I believe that. Amen. Sure I do. Michael in our church, Michael had on the prayer list, on our prayer list, our church prayer list, pray for my sister Dana. She cannot have a baby and she wants a baby. And would you not believe that last Wednesday night he stood up and said, y'all, thank God my sister is now pregnant and going to have a baby. I believe every word of that. I saw just this morning, there was this video that was going around on Instagram where some of you may know the music artist Forrest Frank fell and cracked his back in several locations in a skateboard accident. And I think it was another musical artist, if I've got the story right, Torn Wells gets up at his concert and stops and has the whole concert praying for miraculous healing for this other artist. No jealousy, no trying to get up on the other artist, just praying that God will heal him. And he put a video out this morning that 2 weeks ago he had multiple breaks in his back, and this morning he woke up and had an emergency x-ray because he woke up and got up and walked around, and the x-ray revealed no breaks, no cracks, none of that at all. Now you say, that's crazy, that's quit. Look, friend, you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can believe 2 + 2 = chicken if you want to, friend, but I believe there's a God in heaven. I believe that he's real. I believe that he answers prayer. I believe he gets in the middle where 2 or 3 are gathered together, and it needs to be the priority of the church. Amen. Number 2, prayer gives unity to the church. Look at what it says here in Acts 1. Look at what it says in verse 14. These all continued in one accord. I love that phrase, one accord. Together, unified, one accord. In the next verse, verse 15, it talks about how that Peter stood up in the middle of the disciples and said, there were 120 people there, "Men and brethren, the scripture must need be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." So Peter stands up now in a prayer meeting. Watch this. In a prayer meeting, he stands up and he opens up his Bible and he says, "Hey guys, this is what the Bible says about choosing the replacement for Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas went out and hanged himself. And now we need a new disciple." And the Bible goes on and talks about how scripture was open. They prayed together. Lots were cast, which was an Old Testament form of determining the will of God for a situation. And here they came with scripture. You're open, okay, with hearts open, in unity together, and they prayed together about the replacement of Judas. Did you catch that? Later on, they're going to pray together in Acts chapter 12 about Peter, the same guy who's in prison. They've issued out a statement that he's going to lose his life. The church gets together and starts praying that God would deliver him, and guess what? God delivered him. They stand up in Acts 6. In fact, I want you to turn there real quick. Acts 6. They stand up in Acts 6, and the Bible says here, in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brothers, look out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we appoint over this business." Watch this. "But we, the preachers, will give ourselves continually to the minute prayer and the ministry of the word, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen," etc. Verse 6, "whom when they had set before the apostles," and watch this, "when they had prayed, laid their hands on." Now, folks, I'm sure you don't need me to do what I could do this morning, which is basically walk through every page of this book, the book of Acts, and show you page after page after page after page after page where the church got together, they had an issue, they had a need, they prayed with one another, they prayed for one another, and God moved in with power. Why? Because they were together. They were together. Y'all remember just a couple years ago when Damar Hamlin got injured? Do you guys remember this? Any football fans out there know what I'm talking about? Okay, the rest of you, I'm sorry. The only television worth watching in the whole world happens between this weekend and the first weekend of February, and that is football season, okay? Lord, help us all. I mean, has athletics not been pathetic for the last like 4 or 5 months? Having to watch the NBA, which is really, really bad, and then the WNBA, which is just really, really bad. Come on, people. Well, this weekend, the Chiefs kicked the season off again, and here we go. Back to something profitable happening on television. But that game was a Monday night game between Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals, and it was a high stakes game. The winner, I believe it was Buffalo, would have won. They would have been able to make the AFC first seed in the playoffs. I mean, it was a high stakes game. Damar Hamlin's a free safety for the Buffalo Bills. It's almost hard for me to say that word, Buffalo Bills. But Damar Hamlin was a free safety for the Buffalo Bills, and he makes a routine tackle. He stands up about midfield, starts wobbling, falls over in cardiac arrest. And I mean, the EMTs and I believe it was the Bengals training staff, I mean, they rushed to the situation, perform CPR. The teams are huddled around him. The game stops. Game's over. And you know what's amazing? For the next several weeks, it seemed like everybody was a Damar Hamlin fan. I mean, every team, I believe every team in the whole league wore a number 3 patch on their jersey. And the way they striped the fields to highlight the 3 on the football field, it was like all of a sudden we weren't Bengals, we weren't Bills, we weren't Chiefs, we weren't Jags. We were just all on Damar's team. Wouldn't that just be wonderful? We have so denominationalized the church. Folks, I come from a long line of people that will split hairs over anything and everything they could find. I mean, you could have 99 out of 100 things the same, but you're going to get a 99% F on that paper. This is not the way the church is supposed to work. We are not all have to be the same people believing the exact same thing. Good night. Prayer has the ability to draw people together for a common cause. I was in a prayer meeting on Tuesday night in the city of Brooklyn at a church that started gathering at 5:15 downtown Brooklyn. It's not even a parking lot. They ride buses and trains. They ride Uber and they ride subways to get there. There were 2,000 people packed in a church starting at 5:15 on Wednesday night in the largest city in the United States of America. Every skin color, every background, no denomination, no this or that, just this. We want to pray. There was no sermon. There was nothing else. It was just prayer. And I thought to myself, this is what it's supposed to be like. Here we are. We are supposed to come together. There's one thing that can bring us together more than anything. It's the name of Jesus Christ, and it is coming together on our knees praying for him. You want to know how to get close to somebody? Pray with them. You want to know how to love somebody? Pray for them. You want to know how to be unified with brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Pray with them. And when you do, you will find a unity like you've never seen before. I remember when we first came to this church, our church was so small in a rundown building just about a mile and a half from here. I mean, just seemed like nothing was really going well at all. But some of you guys that were here in those early days will remember that in my first Sunday, there was a visitor at church named Josh Fraunhofer. You guys remember Josh? Some of you do. And it just so happened that he had taken a Bible college class from me, and then he had moved to Jacksonville. Then I came to Jacksonville. He was running a Chick-fil-A down on the south side. And he showed up at church, heard I was going to be the pastor of church. Greeted me that first Sunday, July 2016. Struck up a friendship. He started coming to church, joined our church. Told me in the early days, Brian, I just want to tell you, I'm my heart functions at 20%, and I'm on the Mayo Clinic heart transplant list. We all started praying for Josh. I remember the night, I just got to bed, about to lay down, and my phone rang. Josh was over at Mayo Clinic, and he called me and said, Pastor, my heart is coming. It's on its way right now. And man, I jumped in the car, drove over to Mayo Clinic, and started praying with the doctors, prayed with Josh. And the surgery was supposed to start, I think, at 4 a.m. On a Wednesday morning. And so I've got a picture on my phone. Bill, I think you were there. Bill Addison right here was with me. Bill was there. A couple other people were there at 4 o'clock in the morning on that Wednesday. And we started praying around the clock for Josh Fraunhofer. And he made it through that surgery. I'll never forget this. One week later, 7 days later, after a heart transplant on a Wednesday prayer meeting, he walked into that prayer meeting the next Wednesday night. I'm telling you what, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in my whole life. I remember Brent when he was little and he was so fascinated by Josh. He wanted to hear his heart. Heartbeat. So Josh had a stethoscope with him. He's listening to his brand new heart. And here God miraculously answered prayer on Josh's behalf. And you know what? I think, of course, God was doing a miracle in Josh's life. But I think what he was doing more than anything was he was bringing a church together that for so long had been fractured and broken and busted up by every this and every opinion of that. And God was saying, you know what? Can we just leave all that behind us for a minute? And can we just get together and pray? And I got to tell you, friend, let's just leave some other things behind us today. And let's just say, you know what? We're here to seek after God. It brings power. It brings unity to the church. Finally, it brings power to the church. It brings power to the church. Acts 1 prayer brought Acts 2 power. I just want to tell you, friend, I personally have had enough with just coming to church. I am quite sure I have been in more church services than anybody in this room. And I've been saved about almost 30 years. Some of you have been saved longer than I have. But I believe I've got everybody beat in how many church services I've been to. Thousands, thousands, scores of thousands. Who knows? There's no end to it. And I have been to church services where, for crying out loud, they have the order of service taped on the actual pulpit. It never changes. Like my friend Jim Cimbala says, the problem with most church services is there's no room for God in any of them. It's like God would want to come and show up, but he looks at our service and goes, there's no place for me. You can't fit me in. So I'm not here. Nobody's showing God's not on the schedule. God is not here on the schedule, guys. We want to affect this community. We want to affect this world. We want to affect our neighbors, our friends. We want to see God show up in a big, powerful way and change your marriage and change your life and change your kids and heal your hearts and bring about his miracles. I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen. We will pray and God will answer. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So that's my call to you today. So during these services, there's two calls to action, okay? And we're going to have one right now. The first one is at the beginning of the service, because we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. When we come into church, we are going to want to have an invocation. You know what an invocation is? How many of you know what an invocation is? Okay, that's what I thought. An invocation is usually a formal prayer at the beginning of like some meeting. I have to do these from time to time. I hate them. They're like, Pastor Sams, will you please come and pray the invocation at the city council meeting? I got to tell you, I cannot think of anything I'd rather not do. I'm just telling you. It's so formal. Nobody cares. Nobody wants you to be there. It's the most formal thing in the world. And I'm not sure if God's there or not, but I do know this. An invocation, the idea of invocation is good. We are saying, God, we are inviting you into this place. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he is there. I mean, guys, that's a promise from the Bible. So when we are praying together at the beginning of a service, like we're going to do every service, I'm inviting you to get in on it. Okay? Folks, listen. If I'm you right now, and I've got a prayer request, I'm going to get it on that prayer list as fast as I could ever get it on a prayer list, because I'm seeing God work. I am seeing God do some things. Somebody shared with me this morning how they got saved just this week or in the last couple of weeks and want to get baptized next Sunday. God's on the move, folks. He's at work, and I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to get left behind in what he's doing. And so when there's a call to prayer, I mean, at minimum, pray and ask God to show up for you. Pray and ask God to meet with you. And then when we come to the end of a service, we come to the end and we're saying, God, what did we hear? What did we learn? What do we need? And I don't know if there could be a person in this room that should come anytime ever to a church service and not have the Lord speak to you. When his word is open, he speaks. The question is, are you getting what he's saying? And so we come to what we call invitation. That's now. An invitation is basically an opportunity for you to invite Christ as your Savior, invite the Lord to work in your heart, invite him to answer your prayer. There should never be an invitation that goes by that I don't respond. Doesn't mean I have to respond up here, but it means I should always respond. Always respond. Or maybe I'm just not here for the right reason. So did you come to meet with God Or do you have another motive? Got another motive. Parents make you come. Wife make you come. Husband dragging you in here. What will they think if I don't come? I've got to check in on Facebook. I got to get my likes up. Like, what did you come for? And I'm going to lead you to the Word of God, and I'm going to lead you to the throne of God. And what you do with it, that will be entirely your decision to make, okay? So let's all stand. Let's have the worship team come. We're going to pray.